I'm Michael Hernandez. KRWG News Time is 7:45. Former Border Patrol agent Francisco Cantu spent 4 years patrolling the border. His memoir of that time and its aftermath is The Line Becomes a River, Dispatches from the Border. Cantu spoke with Spencer Beckwith. Here's part two of that conversation.
You said, Francisco, that you were writing this journal so you wouldn't forget. Were you also writing so that you could write afterward and write articles or write a book, or was that not part of the motivation for keeping a journal?
No, that wasn't really part of my equation. When I came into the Border Patrol, I really came in looking at the experience as an extension of my education. I had studied immigration and border issues in school. And I was really looking to kind of connect the dots with a lot of that book learning that I had done. And I thought somewhat naively that I would get answers to all these questions and that I would be able to do that work for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and then sort of come out of it equipped with this toolbox of answers that would enable me to go on and be like some amazing policymaker or an immigration lawyer or something like that. So, you know, writing them down in the journal was really mostly for myself. But I think I was also keeping that journal because I knew that there's something vital in those conversations, in having an interaction with a man and his pregnant wife, or two boys who just lost their uncle in the desert and you see a dead body and, you know, you feel that there's some answer underneath all of that, right? That maybe if you just write it down and keep it in one place, you can come back to it and make sense of it later. I think that was part of it.
The details of those encounters that make them come alive.
You know, a lot of, especially the first section in this book, I mean, a lot of those are lifted almost straight out of the journal. A lot of those details, you know, I would just kind of write down the conversation and, you know, these little descriptors of the place or of what someone was doing while they were talking, just kind of like a sketch to fill in with your own memory, you know, enough, jotting down enough so that you could bring that image back to your mind or bring that memory back to your mind years later. And so I think when I started putting it into a book, I wanted to have a similar effect on the reader. You know, you want to leave enough room for the reader to connect these stories with their own sense of who they are or their own sense of humanity, because so many of these are human stories. So I thought a lot about keeping it intimate.
You really, in this book, do not address the political side of what is, of course, a very, very contentious issue. Why not?
One thing is that for people who live along the border, they might have the experience of, you know, seeing all of these eyes turned now toward the border with this heightened rhetoric and all of these people now having an opinion about what goes on here. But I think, you know, if you've been living in this part of the country for a long time, the realities of what people go through when they cross the desert, the enforcement realities have remained largely unchanged for the last several decades. A lot of the solutions that we're talking about right now are the same sorts of solutions that we were talking about a decade ago. I remember being in college and, you know, there was literally a build the wall bill that passed through Congress, and it was called the Secure Fences Act of 2006. It came with a lot of money to hire new Border Patrol agents. I was part of that, the tail end of the sort of Bush hiring push. And that's exactly the same thing that we're talking about doing now, is building walls and hiring more Border Patrol agents. So it seems almost beside the point if you live in the borderlands, right? Because what you see is that the reality is a human reality. It's a reality of the individual who is caught up in this massive deportation industrial complex or border security enforcement complex. And I think we lose sight of those individuals in our debate all the time. If you look at the rhetoric that we use to talk about migration, it completely dehumanizes and sort of minimizes the migrant. You know, we talk about a flood of migration or an uptick in migration as if migrants are this, you know, line that can be plotted upon a graph. We talk about, you know, a cat and mouse game at the border. And I think what all of that rhetoric does is it encourages us to think of migrants as part of this indistinguishable mass, one person no different than the next. And I think we have to reject that way of talking about these things.
Author Francisco Cantu speaking with Spencer Beckwith.